إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This morning, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to continue for the third day with our reading from Asbab Najat al-Ummah, yani the means for the Ummah's salvation, or the salvation of the Ummah, by Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And previously, Annie, we mentioned some of the means or causes, Annie, the asbab that are the means through which salvation is attained. And the Shaykh mentioned probably the most important of them, that which is the foundation of the Islamic Aqeedah and the foundation of Islam, and that is the meaning of La ilaha illallah, which is the establishment of Tawheed and the avoiding of Shirk. And this is indeed the greatest of all means of salvation and success, being saved from the punishment of the hellfire. It is to establish a Tawheed and to avoid Shirk. And the Shaykh also mentioned along with it, likewise, as we strive and struggle and make every effort possible to avoid a shirk, then we must also avoid al-bid'ah, innovation, and that is by adhering to the sunnah, by sticking to the sunnah, by knowing what is the sunnah and then practicing it and implementing it in our lives. And the Shaykh mentioned, even before those, he mentioned hearing and obeying those in authority from amongst us. And he also mentioned al-jama'ah, yani sticking together in jama'ah, and that is, yani sticking together upon the Qur'an and the sunnah, al-haq. So he mentioned these four means of salvation, that is, establishing al-tawheed and establishing the sunnah and avoiding the opposites, and hearing and obeying the leader and establishing the jama'ah, and upon the Qur'an and Sunnah, and he's sticking together on the Qur'an and Sunnah. And today we want to mention a fifth matter, and those matters that the Shaykh has offered to us. A fifth matter from the means of establishing or of attaining salvation or success in this dunya and being saved from the hellfire in the next. The Shaykh, he says, وَكَذَلِكَ مِنْ أَسْبَابِ النَّجَاةِ نَجَاةَ الْأُمَّةِ الْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيِ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And likewise, from the means or the causes of salvation, the salvation of the Ummah, is enjoining that which is good, al-ma'ruf, that which the Sunnah and even the sound intellect, the sharia and the sound intellect established as being good and upright and righteousness, that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and forbidding the munkar, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited and that which he dislikes. Enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. This is one of the great means of success. The Shaykh repeats it, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. It is one of the greatest means of success of the Ummah. So, as long as the people enjoin the good and forbid the wrong, then the Ummah will be saved. And if this is abandoned, if the ummah abandons enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong, it will be destroyed. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the story of the Bani Israel, the children of Israel, when they transgressed the limits concerning the Sabt, yani the Sabbath, their Sabbath, which means for them that it was a day in which they should not engage in worldly affairs, rather they should devote that day to worship. And of course in Islam, we don't have such a day that we don't engage in worldly affairs. Rather, we have a day in which we gather together for exhortation and advice and reminder, yani for the community, the day of Jumu'ah. However, on that day, Muslims are allowed to work and engage in their worldly activities. So they transgressed the bounds related to a Sabt. When they transgressed the bounds of the Sabbath for them, some of their righteous people, the Sulaha, some of them prohibited them from this transgression, but they didn't listen, they didn't comply. So a group from amongst the righteous people amongst them, the Sulaha, they remained silent after this, and they didn't continue to prohibit them. As it came in some of the hadith, that they prohibited them from the evil they were engaging in. And the next day, they came and found them still doing it. So they didn't say anything. They sat with them, they ate with them, they drank with them, and they just let them do whatever they were doing. So the Shaykh said, سَكَتُوا جَمَاعَةٍ مِنَ الصُّلَحَىٰ وَلَمْ يَنْهَوْهُمْ Yani they just became silent about the matter. And they didn't prohibit them, rather, بَلْ قَالُوا لِمَا تَعِذُونَ قَوْمًا اللَّهُ مُحْلِكُهُمْ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا Yani, a group from amongst those who knew better. They said, why should we admonish? Why should we reprimand a people whom Allah is going to destroy them? Allah is about to destroy them or punish them with a severe punishment. And the others who knew better said to those, قَالُوا مَعَذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ Yani it is so that we would be saved from blame. Yani we will have an excuse in front of our Lord. We will say we warned them, we advised them, we reprimanded them. We didn't just leave them to do wrong. And perhaps they will observe taqwa. Perhaps they might listen and correct themselves. Yani there were three groups of people then. One group of people who were doing evil, another group of people who were divided into two groups. From amongst them, they both knew that those people were doing wrong, and they admonished them. But one group said, we have admonished them, they didn't do anything, later for them. And the other group said, no, we will continue to admonish them. Naam, this is in Surah Al-A'raf, which is 7th Surah, 164th Ayah. And then the Shaykh mentions a few other ayats. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى فلما عتوا عما نهوا عنه قلنا لهم كونوا قردة خاسئين يعني this is also Surah Al-A'raf 7th Surah 166 ayat. يعني Allah is saying, so when they exceeded the limits of that which they were prohibited from, we said to them, يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, be apes, yani despised and rejected. Yani he transformed them into animals, into apes. And then the Shaykh mentions another ayah from the same surah, 163rd ayah, saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاسْأَلْهُمْ عَنِ الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ حَاضِرَةَ الْبَحْرِ إِذْ يَعْدُونَ فِي السَّبْتِ Yani ask them about the town, the group, the people, the village or town of people who were near the sea when they transgressed the limits of the Sabt, the Sabbath. And the people from amongst the Jews who were living near the sea, and these people transgressed the limits, they violated the limits of the Sabbath, and they engaged in worldly affairs that they should not have been engaging in during the day of Sabbath. The Shaykh said, what did they transgress? In what area? What was the transgression in the Sabbath? And in the day of Sabbath, Saturday? It was that they went fishing. Yani, they were fishing on the day when they should not have been engaging in any worldly affairs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited them from that. However, yani, they used a trick to try to escape from yani, this prohibition. They were prohibited to fish on Saturday or their Sabbath, so they used a trick. They put nets in the water, and the nets would catch the fish and hold them for them until the following day, on Sunday. And then they would take the fish on Sunday, thinking that they had yani, escaped from violating or transgressing the limits. Yani, they used the trick to get around that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prohibited. And the Shaykh mentions from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 65th ayat, لَقَدْ عَلَمْتُمُ الَّذِينَ اَعْتَدَوْا مِنْكُمْ فِي السَّبْتِ فَقُلْنَ لَهُمْ كُونُوا قِرَدَةً خَاسِئِينَ. Yani, similar to what it said in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah is saying here that you know about those who violated from amongst you, transgressed the limits of the Sabt, of the Sabbath. And we said to them, be apes, despised and rejected. And then the Shaykh goes back to the same story from the Bani Israel, but he goes back to Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 163rd Ayat, and he repeats the saying, وَاسْأَلْهُمْ عَنَ الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ حَاضِرَةَ الْبَحْرِ إِذْ يَعْدُونَ فِي السَّبْتِ إِذْ تَأْتِيهِمْ حِيْتَانُهُمْ يَوْمَ السَّبْتِهِمْ شُرَّعَ. Yani, he's completing the story here. Ask them about the town which was near the sea. Yani, at the time when they had violated the Sabbath, and their fish used to come to them on the day of Sabbath, on the Saturday, openly, a lot of fish would yani, be jumping out of the water at them. And this was a time when they were not allowed to fish. So the Shaykh says, هذا من الابتلاء يوم السبت تكثر الحيتان حيتان يشفونه وتغريهم في الصيد ابتلاء وامتحان. يعني, this was a test for them, a trial. On the Saturday, the Sabt, the fish used to come forth plentifully, and they would see the fish, and this would entice them to try to capture the fish, to fish. This was a test and a trial for them. وَيَوْمَ لَا يَصْبِتُونَ لَا تَأْتِهِمْ. On the day when they didn't have to observe the Sabbath, the fish would not come. No fish would appear. Fish would only appear when? On the day when they couldn't go fishing. So this was a trial. This was a ibtila, a imtihan, a test for them. And the Shaykh says, يعني ending the ayah in Surah Al-A'raf 7163, كَذَلِكَ نَبْلُوهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُكُونَ. And in this way, we tested them and we tried them because of their fisq, because of their disobedience. So Allah tested them. And He tested their obedience to Him. He prohibited them from fishing on the Sabt, and He made the fish to come out openly. Plenty of fish coming on the Sabt. And on the other days, when they were allowed to fish, no fish would show up. So this was a test for them. And the Shaykh mentions, after this, from Surah Al-A'raf 7, Ayah 164, وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِمَا تَعِذُونَ قَوْمًا اللَّهُ مُحْلِكُهُمْ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا قَالُوا مَعْرِضَةً مَعَذِرَةً إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّكُونَ. Yani, a group from amongst them, when these people were engaging in this sinful behavior, a group from amongst them said to the others who knew better, a group from amongst them said, why should we admonish or warn these people whom Allah will soon destroy? And He will punish them with a severe punishment. And the other group responded to them saying, so that we will be free of blame in front of our Rabb, in front of your Rabb. And perhaps they might observe taqwa. Perhaps they might listen. Perhaps they might correct themselves and obey the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ يعني, same story goes on. So when they forgot that which they were reminded of, يعني, forgot meaning they did not accept the advice. Not they didn't really forget, but they just rejected what they were being advised with. نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا يعني they didn't accept the advice, the Shaykh said this means. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ أَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ يَنْهَوْنَا عَنِ السُّوءِ وَأَخَذْنَا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا بِعَذَابٍ بَعِيسًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُكُونَ. So when they forgot, or when they rejected the advice that had been given to them, we rescued, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we saved those who were forbidding them from doing evil. And we seized, we took hold of, and he punished those who were the wrongdoers with a severe punishment due to their fisq, due to their disobedience and wrongdoing. And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, when these people refused to accept the advice, then a group of them who advised them, who warned them from doing evil, he saved them, he rescued them. And the other group who continued to engage in evil, he punished them. And he doesn't mention the third group, that is, those who had initially admonished them and then abandoned the admonishment and allowed them to continue doing what they were doing. He doesn't mention the third group. And the Shaykh says, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not rescue, he did not save any except those who, yani, forbid them from evil, who warn them against doing evil. So there is no salvation for this ummah except in enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. And this story of the Bani Israel is a proof that the salvation and being saved from punishment is for those who enjoin the good and forbid the evil. This is a proof of that. And this means then that if we do not fulfill the obligation of enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong, even though we ourselves are not engaged in that evil, we will be punished along with those people. Because our salvation and being saved from punishment is not just that we don't engage in sin and corruption, but rather we must also prohibit those who are engaging in it from engaging in it. And then the Shaykh mentions another example from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kama mathala an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam al-amru bil ma'ruf wa nahyi 'anil munkar alladhina ya'muruna bil ma'ruf wa yanhauna 'anil munkar والذين لا يأمرون ولا ينحون. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم makes a parable, an example of enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. يعني of those who enjoin the good and forbid the wrong and those who do not enjoin the good and who do not forbid the wrong. شبههم صلى الله عليه وسلم بقوم استحموا على السفينة استحموا يعني اقترعوا عملوا القرعة أيهم يكونوا في أعلى السفينة وأيهم يكونوا في أسفلها. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made a comparison between, يعني he made the comparison or the example, the parable of a people who, يعني were drawing lots on a ship, casting lots. Which of them will get the upper part of the ship and which of them will get the lower part of the ship. يعني they would draw lots to see who would get the best part, the best positions on the ship. And of course, the best position was the upper part, not underneath the ship, in the bottom. So they drew lots on the ship. And the hadith, it's mentioned in the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, فَأَصَابَ بَعْدُهُمْ أَعْلَاهَا وَأَصَابَ بَعْدُهُمْ أَسْفَلَهَا. So some of them got the upper part, and some of them got the lower part. فَقَالَ الَّذِينَ فِي أَسْفَلِ السَّفِينَةِ. So those who were in the lower part of the ship, they said, if we make a hole in our part of the ship, then we can take our water from that, and we won't harm the people who are above us. This is ignorance, stupidity, it's foolishness. Yani, the Shaykh says, they mean by this, they will make a hole in the ship while they're out at sea, in the ocean. They're going to make a hole in the ship.
They were thirsty.
When they needed water, they had to go up to the top and walk over the people and step over the people and to get to some water. So they said, why are we going to need to do all this? We just make a hole in our part of the ship and we get our water directly. So if we make a hole in our part of the ship, we will not harm the people who are above us. We don't have to step over them and ask them to move and get out of our way so we can get through. We won't have to harm them. The Shaykh says, "ما هم راجعين لأهل العلم وأهل الفضل وأهل التقى بل يبون يمشون على رأيهم وهذا مثل من وقع في المنكر." يعني they did not consult with the people of knowledge and the people of virtue. And the people who have taqwa, they didn't consult anybody. Rather, they merely wanted to follow their own opinion. This is the example of the people who fall into munkar, into evil. They don't consult with anybody. They don't seek advice. They just do what they want to do, following their own desires, no matter what the consequences. And the consequence is not only going to befall them alone, rather it's going to befall all the people. The consequence of their behavior, as we see today, and it became crystal clear for whoever it wasn't clear to before, at 9/11. When those foolish people did what they did, the consequence of it didn't fall on them alone, rather it affected the whole Muslim society around the world. How many countries were destroyed by the kuffar using that as their excuse, that these people did this? So this is our response. So the consequence of the evil behavior of these people, what is their stupidity? Look at their stupidity. They said, we'll make a hole in the boat and we'll get our water. Those people said, we'll destroy their building and that will do something. What did it do? Except cause harm to innocent Muslims all over the earth. And now we see it continuing until today in all of the countries. From Yemen, Iraq, Syria, every place, all over the Muslim world. The consequence of these ignorant people's behavior. This is the example of those who fall into munkar. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Shaykh mentions the beginning of the hadith here. مثل القائم على حدود الله. يعني the example of the one who observes the boundaries of Allah, observes the law of Allah. That is, those who, he is saying, the meaning of this, is those who enjoin the good and forbid the wrong. مثل القائم على حدود الله والواقع فيها. And, يعني the example of the one who observes the boundaries of Allah, and the example of those who fall into, yani who violate the laws of Allah. And that is those who are doing the munkarat, yani committing acts of evil, corruption and sin. The example is كَمَثَلِ قَوْمَ اسْتَحَمُّ, yani the example of the people who draw lots for the ship. So some of them got the upper part of the ship, and this is the good part of the ship. This is the better position. And some of them got the lower part. And those who got the lower part, they wanted some water, so they used to go up, and they used to take water from above them, go up to the upper part and get the water up there. And they said, it's not necessary for us to keep going up there and harming the people above us. We'll just make a hole in our part of the ship, and we'll get water from our own place, from our own position. فَلَمَّا خَرَقُوا. So when they made the hole in the ship, يعني, the Shaykh is saying the meaning of this, they didn't actually do it, but لَوْ خَرَقُوا, if they had done it, the whole ship would have sunk with all of them in it. So if those who are in the upper part of the ship take the hand of those who are in the lower part of the ship, take them by the hand and prevent them from making the hole, all of them would be saved. And if they leave them to make the hole, all of them would be destroyed. This is the parable that the Prophet ﷺ gave of enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. What is the consequence of those who fail to enjoin the good and forbid the wrong? Everybody will be destroyed. And what we are talking about here, we're talking about what? Asbab najat al-ummah. What are the causes or the reasons or the means or the ways through which the ummah will be saved? And this is one of them. One of the most important of them is enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. If it is not done, we will be destroyed. Now, So the Shaykh, he says, كَذَلِكْ هَذَا مِثَال وَاضِحٌ. And this is a clear example that the people of sin and corruption who follow their desires, if they are left to do whatever they want to do, the whole ummah will be destroyed. So it is of a necessity that the Ahlul Hilm wa Ahlul Ra'i wa Ahlul Deen, yani the people of discretion, the people who have wisdom and can think properly, the people who know how to see things properly, Ahlul Ra'i, who have a good view of things, the people who possess Deen, it is a necessity that they take these people by the hands, so that all of the people, the whole society, the mujtama'a kulluhu, will be saved from the punishment of Allah. Otherwise, if those people are left to engage in their sins and opposing yani the regulations, the laws of Allah, and following their desires, all of the people will be destroyed. As-salih wa-talih, yani the righteous people and the wicked people will all be destroyed together. And here the Shaykh, he mentions from Surah Al-Anfal, the 8th surah, 25th ayat, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاسًا وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. And fear, yani protect yourself from the fitna, the trial, the tribulation, the punishment that will not only afflict those who have done wrong from amongst you, yani it will not be limited to them, rather it will extend to everyone, and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe in punishment. So the punishment, if it descends upon the sinners, then it will yani also take the righteous along with the wicked. They will all be punished together. إِلَّا مَنْ أَنْكَرَ فَإِنَّهُ يَنْجُو. Except the one who forbids evil, who rejects evil, who warns against evil, who rebukes them for the evil, for that one will be saved. As far as the one who does not yani forbid the evil, does not rebuke or reject the evil, then he will be destroyed. Meaning, even though he didn't engage in the evil himself, but he will be destroyed because he didn't enjoin the good and forbid the wrong. Even though, walau kana salihan, even if he was a righteous person, he will also be destroyed. He will be destroyed with those who deserve to be destroyed because of their evil. And this is, as you have heard, in the story of Ashabul Sabt, Ladina Sakatu. As we heard, right, in the story of the people who violated the Sabbath from amongst the Jews, those who remained silent about that behavior. Allah doesn't mention anything about those who remained silent, yani who didn't engage in the sin, but they remained silent about it. They didn't rebuke them, they didn't reject them, they didn't scold them or remind them. Allah doesn't mention anything about them. إِنَّمَا ذَكَرَ الَّذِينَ يَنْحَوْنَ عَنَ السُّوءِ. Rather, he only mentioned those who prohibited them from the evil. And he says concerning them, أَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ يَنْحَوْنَ عَنَ السُّوءِ. Yani we saved, we rescued those who prohibited them from evil. In Surah Al-A'raf 7:165. أما الفريق الثاني, as far as the second group, yani the second group of those who did not engage in the sin, the second group, they didn't engage in the sin, but they also didn't enjoin the good and forbid the wrong. Those who said, why should we advise them? Leave them. Allah Jalla wa Ala sakata anhum. Yani Allah doesn't speak about this group. What happened to them? What was their end? So we don't know. It is not known. Were they from the people who were saved, rescued, since they didn't commit the sin themselves? And they were not from the people who were destroyed? Is that their case? That they were with the people who were saved and they were not with the people who were destroyed? The Shaykh says, الظاهر أنهم مال حالكين. Yani, what is apparent? It appears as though, even though Allah doesn't mention them, it appears as though they were with those who were destroyed. And so when the Prophet ﷺ read the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 78th and 79th ayah, لعن لعن الذين كفروا من بني إسرائيل على لسان داود وعيسى بن مريم ذلك بما عصوا وكانوا يعتدون. And the those who disbelieved from amongst the Bani Israel, they were cursed upon the tongue of Dawood alayhi salam and Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam. And that is because of their disobedience and because they transgressed the limits, the boundaries that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ فَعَلُوا لَبِئْسَ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهَوْنَ عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ فَعَلُوهُ لَبِئْسَ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Yani they did not used to prohibit the people from the munkar, the evil that they were doing, that those people were doing. They did not, yani here the Shaykh is bringing this ayah to make us to understand what happened to the people from the Bani Israel who were cursed on the tongue of Dawood and Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam because of their sin and because of their transgressing the limits. And he says, yani what was it that they did? They did not prohibit the evil that the people amongst them were doing. They did not prohibit them from evil. And evil indeed is that which they have done. Yani, what is it that they did? They did not prohibit the evil. The Shaykh says, سَبَبْ اللَّعْنَ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهَوْنَ عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ فَعَلُوا فَلَعْنَهُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا. Yani, the reason why they were cursed on the tongue of Dawood and Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam is because they did not prohibit the munkar that the people amongst them were doing. They did not prohibit them from evil. So Allah cursed them all. And when I was reading the translation, I noted that the translator has twisted the meaning absolutely in the opposite direction. He says that they were cursed because they prohibited the people from evil while they themselves engaged in it. No, they did not prohibit them from evil and they didn't engage in it. This is the opposite meaning. Yani the Shaykh, he says, Hafidhullah, Sabab al-la'na annahum kanu la yatana'awna. Yani the reason why they cursed is because they didn't prohibit them from evil that was being done by those people who were amongst them. So Allah cursed them all. And the Prophet ﷺ said, كَلَّا وَاللَّهِ لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَتَنْهَوُنَّ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَلَتَأْخُذُنَّ عَلَى يَدْ السَّفِيِّ. And in the hadith it actually says, الظالم, الظالم, يَدْ عَلَى يَدْ الظالم. وَلَتَأْتُرُنَّهُ عَلَى الْحَقِّ أَطْرًا وَلَتَقْصُرُنَّ عَلَى الْحَقِّ قَصْرًا وَلَيَضْرِبَنَّ اللَّهَ قُلُوبَ بَعْدِكُمْ بِبَعْدٍ ثُمَّ يَلْعَنُكُمْ كَمَا لَعِنَهُمْ. This hadith is reported by Abu Dawud and al-Tirmidhi, and the meaning is that the Prophet ﷺ is saying, كَلَّا وَاللَّهِ, I swear by Allah that you must enjoin the good and you must forbid the evil, and you must take the hand of the zalim, any the wrongdoer. You must take them by the hand and by any means persuade them to follow the truth and to limit them to the truth, yani to make them to stick to the truth. Or Allah will strike your hearts, some of you against others, and He will curse you as He cursed them. Yani the Prophet ﷺ is swearing by Allah that it's mandatory, it must be fulfilled, the obligation of enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong, and persuading the people who are engaging it to leave it and to stick to the truth, to adhere to the truth, or otherwise Allah will يعني يضربن الله قلوب بعضكم لبعض. يعني الله أعلم, what is the meaning of this? Strike the hearts of some of you against others, and then He will curse you as He cursed them. So many of the people, and the Shaykh, and after mentioning this, he says, so many of the people throw the responsibility on others, yani enjoining the good, the responsibility of enjoining the good. And they say that these yani religious obligations are the responsibility of so-and-so. Yani somebody else is responsible for this. The hay'a, yani the organization that is set up for enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. The people who are yani appointed to go in the streets and go amongst the people and enjoin the good and forbid the wrong. Yani there is such an organization, or at least there was, in Saudi Arabia. And those people, the hay'a, hay'at al-amr bil-ma'ruf wa nahy al-munkar, their job is to go amongst the people and make sure that the Islam is being observed in the society, in the marketplace, in the other places, in the streets, wherever. Especially in the marketplace, you used to see them. So some people, he's saying that, they say, this is their responsibility, we don't have to do this. And the Shaykh is saying, naam, it's true that the hay'a, this organization that is set up to enjoin the good and forbid the wrong, that they do have this great, tremendous responsibility. This is their work. However, you also have a responsibility. Every Muslim has a responsibility. As the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُم مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. That whoever from amongst you sees munkar, then he must change it with his hand. And if he is not able, then with his tongue. And if he is not able, then with his heart. And that is the weakest of iman. As far as you saying, this responsibility is not upon me, this is the responsibility of the hay'a alone, this is their responsibility, deceiving yourself. And deceiving yourself into believing that you don't have no responsibility in this matter. And you will be with the people, and you will not yani speak against the evil. You will not prohibit them from evil. You will not advise them about what they were doing. You will not call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will not admonish them. You will not remind them. هذا حلاق. This is destruction. Who is not able yani to warn against evil when you see it with the tongue? Who is not able? At least by the heart. And that is the weakest of iman. The Shaykh says, ثُمَّ أَنْتَ عَلَيْكَ wajib أَيْضًا. Aside from that which is in the society, not only do you have some responsibility to at least speak out against it, or at least minimum hate it in your heart when you see evil, munkar, corruption, sin, wrongdoing, and people failing to fulfill the obligatory duties. All of this is munkar. Not only do you have a share in that responsibility according to your ability, but also you have another obligation, and that is the people of your household, your own family. And here he mentions the hadith of the Prophet, he mentions the ayah from the Quran, from Surah Tahrim, 66 surah, and the 6th ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Yeah, O you who believe, save yourselves and your family from the fire whose fuel is men and stones. The Shaykh, he mentions this ayah and he says, the hay'a, yani the group that enjoins the good and forbids the wrong, they don't know what's happening inside of your house. The one who's in charge of the affairs of the Muslims, the ruler, he doesn't know what's happening inside of your house. You are the one who's responsible about those who are in your house. The women, the children, your guests, you are responsible. Because the people outside don't know anything about those who are in your house. So you are the one responsible for that. And the Prophet ﷺ said, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ الْأَمِيرُ رَاعٍ وَمَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ وَصَاحِبُ الْبَيْتِ رَاعٍ وَمَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ وَالْمَرْأَةُ رَاعِيَّةٌ فِي بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا ومسؤولة عن رعيتها والخادم راع في مال سيده ومسؤول عن رعيته فكلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. يعني the hadith in which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, every one of you is a ra'i, يعني one who is like a shepherd responsible for the flock. Every one of you will be questioned about those under your responsibility. The Amir, he is a ra'i, like a shepherd over a flock. And he will be questioned about those under his care. And the person in charge of his house, he is also a ra'in. and he will be questioned about those under his care in his house. And a woman is also a ra'iya, yani a person responsible for the house of her husband, and she will be questioned about that which is under her care. And the servant is also a ra'in, yani over responsible for the wealth of his master, and he will be questioned about that responsibility. All of you are responsible, yani for something, like a shepherd responsible for the flock, and every one of you will be questioned about that which is under your care. So enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong is mushtarik, yani it is something that is shared by everyone. No Muslim will be excused from it. However, everyone will be responsible according to their ability. So whoever from you sees munkar, then he must change it with his hands. Meaning, the person who is responsible for a household, he changes the munkar in his house with his hands, with authority, with power, with force, if necessary. Because he has the authority to do that over the people in his house. He has the authority to use force over the people of his household. Allah has given him this authority over the people of his household to change the evil with his hand, to remove the munkar from his house, to hit somebody, to discipline those who are in his house. And nobody is going to challenge him concerning this. Not in the normal society. But this is a kafir society. But in the Muslim society, a person has responsibility over their household. And this is another reason why, this is another clear reason, serious matter, why we shouldn't be here. Why would a person volunteer to be subjected to oppressive rulers who don't even allow you to discipline your own children, your own family? You can't even tell your wife what to do. She can make a complaint against you and have you locked up. And they won't even listen to what you're saying. If she says you hit her, خلاص, you're going to jail. No discussion. She can charge you with rape. And then take all of your wealth and property that you worked for, and she didn't do any work, and you might not get anything, or you'll get a little bit of it. Yani, because what? Because, yani, vulm, oppression. They take your children from you. Now, they don't even have to dial anything. They just tell the teacher to dial it for them. So the Sheikh, he's saying here that in the normal society, not in this kuffar, yani this kufr society, no one will challenge your right to be responsible over the people in your household, because you are the one responsible for your household. And then you say, La hadha ala al-hayat. And you say, no, this is the responsibility of those organizations or groups that have been appointed by the government. And then you leave your house to be destroyed. You say, this is upon those people? No, this is a great mistake that you are making. For indeed, upon the Muslims, it is obligatory upon them, every one of them, to fulfill the obligation that which Allah has made them responsible for. So the person who's responsible for his house, he will be questioned about the people of his house, and the principal of the school will be questioned about his school and whatever is in it. The teaching staff, it should be usrat al-tadris, those who are the teachers in the school, as well as the students. He will be questioned about them. And the director of the administration or company or whatever will be questioned about the employees, those who are under his responsibility. Every person has a responsibility to enjoin the good and forbid the wrong, and to call to Allah with hikmah, with wisdom, and maw'idat al-hasana, good, any admonition or teaching or preaching. As far as every person just remaining silent and deceiving himself into believing, saying that this responsibility of the Sharia affairs is on so-and-so, the Shaykh says, no, oh my brother. Yeah, so-and-so he is responsible for something. However, you also have a responsibility, and it is a necessity that this obligation be fulfilled. And enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. This is the way of success of the ummah, enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. And then the Shaykh closes, and we'll stop here with this. The Shaykh closes, yani this point of enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong, that every person from amongst the Muslims must do what he is able to do of enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong, and not leave it or abandon it while he is able. Even if all he is able to do is that which is in the heart, yani to hate it in the heart. And no person is unable or incapable of yani rejecting evil with their heart, yani hating it in the heart. No person is incapable of this, of hating it and distancing themselves from it, and distancing themselves from the people who engage in evil. No one is incapable or unable to do this. Naam, you might be incapable of using force. You might be incapable of even speaking out. That's possible. However, the heart, nobody is incapable of this, of rejecting the evil with the heart. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَيْسَ وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ إِيمَانِ حَبَّةِ خَرْدَلِ Yani that after this, if a person doesn't at least hate it in the heart, there's nothing behind this of Iman, not even that which is equal to the mustard seed. The person who has Iman, they will stop it with their hands, if they have the ability and authority, the right to do so in that area, in that arena. And the person who is not able to do that will speak out against it. If they're not, they will at least hate it in the heart. If a person doesn't do that, they have no Iman. There's no Iman after that. So the person who doesn't reject the evil with the heart, laysa bimu'min, that person is not a believer. The person who doesn't at least hate evil in their heart, and again, evil is sinful acts as well as failing to observe the obligatory duties. Whoever doesn't hate this, whoever sees this and knows it and doesn't hate it, person is not making salat. And we don't care. It doesn't matter to me. That means that you don't have any iman. Yani laysa bimu'min. He doesn't have in his heart even that which is equal to the weight of a mustard seed of Iman. If he's pleased with the munkar and he doesn't forbid it, at least you must hate it in your heart. And whoever doesn't do that, he has no Iman. There's nothing behind this. There's nothing after this. There's nothing less than this of Iman, not even that which is equal to the weight of a mustard seed. فهذه أسباب مجملة أسباب نجاة نجاة الأمة. So these, yani, are in summary the causes or the means of salvation or being saved, for the Ummah being saved. And then the Shaykh repeats some of what he mentioned, yani some of the causes, and he goes on to mention some other causes that he didn't mention up until here. So up until here he mentioned five matters, that is establishing the Tawheed and avoiding Shirk, and establishing the Sunnah and avoiding Bid'ah, and hearing and obeying those in authority from amongst us, and sticking together in the Jama'ah based upon the Qur'an and Sunnah. And here he mentioned yani enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong, and these are all from the great causes or means of salvation of the Ummah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question or any comment or correction, and inshallah tomorrow hopefully we'll finish the remaining means that the Shaykh mentioned.
Shaykh, why that part where Allah didn't discuss whether or not the people that, was it the second people?
Yeah, who abandoned the enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong.
Abandoned it. Where he didn't mention anything about that. But and the Shaykh mentioned something about that. Is that okay?
No, obviously. The Shaykh, he's bringing to our attention that Allah doesn't mention these people at all. Not that yani they just have been forgotten about and they don't exist, but rather he's saying that the case of the people who continue to enjoin the good and forbid the wrong is well known, that Allah will rescue them, Allah will save them. And the case of the people who fail to listen to advice or reminders and continue to engage in sin, their condition is well known. They will be destroyed. But the people who didn't engage in the corruption, but they also didn't warn the people against it, then Allah didn't mention them in that ayat. So a person might be left to think, so what is their case? Are they with the people who were saved, or were they with the people who were destroyed? And the Shaykh says that al-zahir, what is apparent, is that they are with the people that was destroyed. And then he mentions the proof that they are with the people who were destroyed. And that is the ayat where Allah says that the disbelievers from the Bani Israel, who were destroyed, who were cursed on the tongue of Dawood and Isa ibn Maryam, he said that these people, they were destroyed for what? Because they failed to enjoin the good and forbid the wrong. And that is the case of the people who failed to enjoin the good and forbid the wrong. And in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that you must enjoin the good or forbid the wrong and dissuade or persuade the people to follow the truth and to stick to it, or you will be destroyed with them. You will be destroyed with them. You will be cursed with them. So we know what is really the case of those people. The Shaykh is just saying in the ayah, Allah didn't mention them. So a person might be left to wonder. But there are other proofs which makes clear that the people who don't enjoin the good and forbid the wrong, they will be destroyed with those people.
If they don't continue to.
Naam, if they don't continue. Because enjoying the good and forbidding the wrong is not just you just tell somebody one time and then the next day you hang out with them. Like they're okay. As the hadith, in the hadith concerning this matter, the Prophet ﷺ said that some of the people from the Bani Israel, they warned the people against the sin they were engaging in, and the next day they found them doing the same thing, then they sat with them, and they ate with them, and they drank with them. Meaning they said, okay, it doesn't matter to us, we don't care. If you don't listen, then you're just okay with us. No, it's not okay with us. But rather we must keep ourselves distance from their sin and corruption, and keep ourselves distance from those people who engage in it. طيب we'll stop inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واياكم بارك الله فيكم